I'm very interested in the future, but I think everybody is. I think we all care about, you know, where our, what our kids are going to inherit and what our jobs are going to be and who's going to love us and all that kind of stuff. But I've always been fascinated by how technology influences society and business. That's kind of my background. I spent a dozen years as a technology industry analyst, kind of a trends analyst. Like, okay, so here come these, you know, pen computers. What are pen computers going to do? What is the internet going to do? I'm also an amateur historian. I care a lot about history, and I find that we don't know much history. We're kind of amnesics. So what I do, my day job is I run REX, the Relationship Economy Expedition, which is a small think and do tank, where we think about these things. So in that sense, I guess I'm a futurist, but it's sort of like the word innovation. The second you go to an innovation center or talk to an official futurist or go to the Futurist Society, you know you're not likely to see innovation or the future.
Mr. Mikulski, you gave a lecture last week at Reese Pfeiffer here at the university, and I was wondering if you could kind of give us the Cliff's Notes version of what that talk entailed.
Sure. So the world right this minute is in this consumerized state, and there's a couple paths out, one of which is consumerization just continues and keeps sort of eating the world. Another one is what I call techno-utopianism or techno-optimism, which I'll describe as well. And the third is this relationship economy notion. So I want to present how those things are different, how they're interacting, and offer a view of what a university could do to take us into the relationship economy better and to be a star in that world.
Could you define some of those terms for us, like what exactly a techno-utopia would look like and what a relationship economy is exactly?
Well, the techno-utopian world, for example, is kind of a world in which technology is either value neutral or usually good, and that technology will, in fact, solve our problems. So we're polluting the atmosphere. You know what? Somebody's going to invent a technology to catalyze all that bad stuff out of the atmosphere. Or, you know what? If we've spoiled this rock, we'll just fly and colonize other planets. So techno-utopianism is sort of blind to the ethics of what's happening as technology walks into our world in different ways. The relationship economy is more this notion that we are reweaving a fabric of society that, in fact, in many places existed before. One of my favorite books is The Great Transformation by Carlo Polanyi that describes the shift into the industrial economy. And he talks about ways that we used to live together. And I've hunted down many more things like that, which are fascinating. We don't have any notions of history of what life was like before.
I know a lot of the focus of your work is sort of on creating this relationship economy. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that's in opposition to and how we can get to that relationship economy state?
So I think we're already entering a relationship economy, which is bringing us back into relationships that were severed over time, partly because we built everything in terms of efficiency and scale. And in so doing, we consumerized every sector of society, not just consumer goods, but of course, entertainment, sports, health, voting, education, all got consumerized. And as a result, we got separated from each other because when you consumerize, you create your identity by wearing polo and I wear Nike. You drive a Ford, I drive something else. We also cut ourselves away from the responsibility of the thing at hand.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, what specifically are we cutting ourselves away from?
We've basically been cut away from the responsibility of just about everything in our lives. And if we want to move forward, we actually need to reconnect. And a lot of this is not about technology at all. It's about policies. It's about human interactions. And it's really a lot about worldview. I think that we're all kind of looking at the same set of facts on the ground. We sort of, now there's not just three news stations. There's a million, you know, news sources. But how you interpret those, what you filter out and what your framework is really, really matters here. And I think having a kind of a humanist framework looking forward is maybe the best way to be.
Mr. Mikulski, we're running just a little bit short on time here, but I wanted to ask if there was anything else that you might like to add.
A lot of my work focuses on trust. And the question I keep asking myself, which I'll just ask our listeners to put in their heads is, what if we trusted you? It's a question that implies that maybe we don't right now. And I do that intentionally because the systems that we live inside of the institutions don't trust us. They're designed for mistrust of the average person. So what if we trusted you?
Mr. Mikulski, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.